Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 59 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And as usual, I am joined here with my buddy, Mike. Mike, what's up?
Same old.
Same old. Enjoying the sunny afternoon.
I got out for a run, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
We are recording this on April 2nd. We had some snow this morning. That was an unwelcome sight, but it's since melted away, and it's a pretty nice afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little frustrated with the snow, but here's the thing that just popped in my mind. I saw on the internet that a big group of people went to Lake Superior to scream.
Oh, cool.
Over the weekend.
Nice.
I think it's like a stress relief or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was weather related because we've had kind of a tough winter, but
right.
Like what?
Or maybe because their NCAA brackets were so bad.
Maybe it's just whatever you want to scream about.
Or whatever you want to scream about. That'd be pretty cool. I wonder if they heard them over in like Port Wing or something, bouncing across the water.
Depends on the wind, I guess, maybe. Yeah.
that's a cool idea.
But yeah, it doesn't seem like April, does it?
I know. And now we have, I don't even want to say the amount. We have a lot of snow maybe coming on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. So
yeah,
we will. If that happens, we'll break the record. So there's that.
That's kind of cool.
It'll be a new PR.
Wow.
New PR for Duluth.
Wow. Doesn't seem so bad. And we have an anniversary, a podcast anniversary. I mean, this is kind of the anniversary episode, right?
Yep. Yeah. 4 years. 4 years.
4 years going strong.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Happy anniversary to us. So I don't know what the traditional, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but with, like, the traditional 4 year anniversary gift is, but we do have something special for the listeners today.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, should we get right into the rundown here, Tony?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We have one set of results here. This is from the Grandma's Marathon, St. Fennessy 4K, part of the YAF series of races. So this was, a couple weekends ago now on March 18th here in Duluth. 569 finishers for the 4K race, so a great turnout. The winner was Charlie Gentinen, from Duluth, 18 years old, with a 13:31. And then the fastest female was Sasha Waman with a 17:52. And there were two non-binary finishers as well, but I unfortunately cannot find that fastest non-binary runner. Oh, let's go with Joshua Herbert with a 21:43. sorry if I misaligned those finishers. Can't really see just the non-binary. Anyways, a big race, so a lot to look forward to with the Grandma's suite of races coming up, which is an excellent segue to upcoming races, the Fickers 5K. A area classic, Rust Buster, is scheduled for Saturday, April 22nd. And there's a new course for that, Tony. Is that right?
That's correct. I was just out this morning, a little bit in that snow, actually, as it turned out, measuring the new course, getting that ready for certification with Greg Hoppala, the race director for Grandma's. And new course this year. Kind of similar to what the older course was. At least we head back downtown. So I'll kind of explain the course here. So we start in front of Fickers, and then just to let you know, we'll finish behind Fitgers on the lake walk, kind of where your races used to start and end.
Yeah.
Mustache race and stuff. So starting in front of Fitgers, and we run towards downtown. We take Superior Street, and then we turn left at 3rd Avenue West.
Great.
Or East, I'm sorry, 3rd Avenue East, and head down to Michigan. We don't take that little soft curve down to Michigan like Grandma's does.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because we just want a little extra straightaway room to thin the crowd out before a 90-degree turn. Because, you know, Fitgers, it's about a, maybe not even a quarter mile in to the race. It's probably about a quarter mile into the race.
Yeah.
And you've got a sharp left turn pretty quick. You want it as thinned out as possible just to kind of make it a little more convenient for everybody.
Yeah.
So anyway, 3rd Avenue East down to Michigan, and we run sort of opposite street direction on Michigan against what would be traffic. There's no
west,
traffic.
Westbound.
Exactly. 5th Avenue West. Take a left. Go over the interstate. Go behind the deck. Wrap around just like we were used to for a lot of races.
Yeah.
Around the deck. Turn in front of the Irvin. And then we're going to take a right in front of the Irvin, and then a quick right again where you run along what I think it's called the Baywalk.
Yeah.
And you're going to go underneath that, through that building, that little tunnel-y area.
Yeah.
And then around and underneath the lift bridge, up in front of the Marine Museum, and then basically to the lake walk.
Yeah.
And then the lake walk around the corner, around the curve, or whatever you want to call it, and down to, back down to Fitgers.
So just behind lake Fitgers. Walk, once you're kind of past the Marine Museum, it's just the lake walk.
Just right lake back. Walk, yeah.
That's going to be a pretty fast course then, huh?
Here's the thing, yes, it will be a pretty fast course, especially that first mile, because Michigan Street, you know, is downhill. Superior Street from Fitgers is a little more downhill. So that first mile is going to be fast.
Yeah.
And then you have a little uphill on 5th Avenue West, but you get it right back going down the overpass on 5th Avenue West again.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's pretty flat. Here's where I would say possibly not. Right now, there is a lot of snow and ice on the course.
Yeah.
And especially with, you know, potentially the storm coming, I don't know how much they're going to be able to get. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But right now, like, for instance, underneath the lift bridge with all the overspray that occurs and things like that, it's basically trampled down, packed ice right now, pockmarked kind of ice stuff.
Nasty.
Yeah. Can you run on it? Sort of. You could jog on it fine, but can you race on it? No. It would be really sketchy to try to race on it, especially with lots of people side by side.
Well, what do we got? 20 days of hopefully warmer.
Hopefully things will work out. Maybe they can get in there and start, I don't know, clearing it a little bit. Get some sort of, I don't know, salt or whatever they need to put on it, or chop away and try to get it clear. But yeah, if the race were like next weekend, no, it would not be good. But yeah, like you say, by the 20th, maybe things will dry out. That would be the only caveat I would have to, I would say, to not having it be a fast race.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty tight. Like, there's definitely some tight turns in there, but I mean, that's been, I would say, fairly normal for Fitgers 5K.
Yeah. You know, I think any of those races that are down there in Canal Park, they have, the William A. Irvin has those tight turns, and it's just kind of how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this course. It's more intuitive. It's essentially a loop, you know? Yeah, and like you say, it will be fast, so I think it'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, I just signed up just this last week for the 5K, so I'm excited to hear that preview and kind of visualize the race a little bit. But regardless of the course, what I'm looking forward to is to have some competition to help push me and kind of just bust the rust and get a good workout in. So,
do you have a time goal,
or is it just? I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
My training's going really well, but I haven't really done any speed work except just like kind of unstructured hills.
Uh-huh.
So it's too hard to say.
Yeah.
I want to say PR, but I don't know if that's...
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. So anyway, that's the course for Fitgers 5K. Hopefully the idea was that this one will stick around. We've had so many changes on that course lately with construction and COVID. And we've gone in different directions now. And utilizing the lake walk for the first time these last handful of years. From my experience, Fitgers didn't use the lake walk before for the old Fitgers 5K back in the day. But, yeah, I think this would be a good course.
Cool. Well, we'll see in a month. La Day 5K is a race coming up. That's on April 30th, another Saturday. That's in East Duluth. I believe it starts at Duluth East High School. It looks like a second-year race, but I don't have much information about it. We also have the NMTC Spring Trail Series starting off. The first race on that is Bear Creek. That's in Wisconsin, and that will be Wednesday, May 3rd. And that's followed up with a Sunday race, 10 a.m., the Spirit Mountain 10-miler, and that is on May 7th. So looking forward to that getting going again as well. And it could be a little questionable again with the snow and the ice. I mean, there is a lot out there still.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So next, maybe we can talk about trail conditions on that topic. Definitely a lot of snow in the woods. I think it's going to be a long time since until we're running on dirt in the, you know, on trails. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's still doable given the situation. It seems like what's going on is big changes to the trail conditions based on a lot of factors like the temperature morning versus afternoon. If it's just snowed, obviously the temperature, you know, makes a big impact. So
direct sunlight,
kind of the spot, you know, you might have some good stretches of trail and then into a sunny spot and just crap.
A sunny open area and all of a sudden it's really soft and
you
sink or it kind of cracks under your foot a little bit.
Kind of choppy out there.
Yep. Yeah. So my understanding is that this morning, Hartley was a little bit choppy in places, but this was early in the morning. So it was still, everything was frozen. It's just, it's starting to loosen up a little bit in the warmer weather. Like for instance, this afternoon right now, as we're sitting here, you know, it's sunny and warm out. So I'm sure that there's definitely some soft spots, especially in the southern facing areas.
So I don't know what your opinion is on this, Tony, but I've been thinking about post tolling, you know, and kind of some trail etiquette concepts in the spring. Like obviously once the city closes down the trail, then I think it's pretty obvious for all trail users when there's a time of like, we have to just wait this out. But I think now it's pretty interesting where you can find some good trail conditions around. But given that like today might be choppy and maybe tomorrow, let's say, not looking at the forecast, just theoretically tomorrow, it could kind of cool down and be good conditions.
Yep.
So I think that's, in my opinion, that's all the reason to really be conscious of if you are post-tolling or making big ruts. I think as foot users, you know, us runners and walkers, we can make the biggest impact literally to the trail by just post-tolling, you know, and I don't think that's very fair to the cyclists and, you know, other users who maybe want to use the trail and other. The season's not over yet, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Right now, like this time of the year, and we have this conversation every spring and we will continue to do so. And I think a lot of our listeners are aware of how this all works, but you know, right now, the way I see it in the mornings, it's as long as it's below freezing, those trails are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
The trick is if someone had post-holed them in the afternoon and then those little craters become frozen in there for quite a long time.
Ankle breakers.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just a reminder, you know, if it's questionable, if you're making divots and post holes, just get off the trail, you know, cause let it live another day. Let's see, moving on, Coach's Corner. What do you got this week for our listeners?
Yeah. Just a quick thing, you know, this time of the year, especially people who are training for grandmas and especially for the full marathon versus the half, I would imagine anybody that's running Grandma's Full has started sometime around January. Mm-hmm. And this is the time of the year where I start to see people, little injury things start to kind of creep up. Mm-hmm. So just because the accumulation of everything and, you know, 10, 12 weeks of going and the fatigue can kick in and just soreness and just little aches and pains. So my thought would be, my advice to people would just monitor yourself. Obviously, you still have a lot of training. You're roughly halfway through your training, so there's still a lot to do. But don't be afraid to kind of take some downtime if need be right now.
Yeah.
And just kind of like the trail thing, live to fight another day.
Right.
You know, just maybe take a day off and and then go tomorrow. You won't lose anything by doing that, but you can potentially lose a lot by trying to push too much.
Right, right. So I guess I find it hard, you know, like I'm training hard and I'm tired and mm-hmm. I'm sore, you know, but that's how you adapt to the training and get better, right?
Yep.
So what are some things for people to like look out for specifically, kind of like red flags maybe where back off?
Well, there's a lot of things. Well, one would be your kind of your attitude. Are you a little bit grumpy or a little more short tempered? Sometimes that means it's indicative of overtraining. Sleep. If your sleep is not great, it's not consistent sleep through a night.
Yeah.
That can be indicative of overtraining. Do they hurt kind of just walking? You know, that's probably, and then it still hurts running. Of course, that's definitely not a good sign. And I would say, you know, times where you have to take a day off or 2 days off or just dial things way, way back for a week or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of factors. The more experienced runners are better at this with kind of reading themselves and knowing kind of what they have been doing and what's ahead with regards to their training and kind of where they're at and how they can handle things. If you're a slightly newer runner, and I always say if you're you've been running 5 years or fewer, you're still a new runner.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things to learn. So if say 5 years or fewer that you've been running, you're a new runner and really try to monitor yourself and err on the side of caution. That's one reason why I'm a big believer in running logs, a written running log, because when you write things down versus just simply uploading it to your Strava and maybe you read it, but when you write things down, you remember it a little better.
Yeah.
It starts to add a little more meaning to you and you can start to see those patterns because you have the day before written down right on that same page,
right
above where you're writing today's run down. And you can start to kind of see, oh, I was really tired yesterday. I guess I forgot about that. But I noticed I wrote down that my ankle was sore or something.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm a big believer in that. It's just, it's an old school way of doing things, but sometimes old school is the best school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my overall advice would be just listen to your body, pay attention to it, learn to read the signals, and if need be, just err on the side of caution.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, for me, you know, I would consider myself like pretty experienced, you know, and I have gone through some injury kind of issues and nothing too serious, luckily. But for me, it's interesting. I feel like I almost like forgot, like, did I feel this before? And another thing that I kind of second guess myself as well, you know, I've never been older in training for a marathon than I am at this time.
Right.
So is like this just me getting older or am I pushing too hard or is this normal? What did I feel like last year? You know, that's been kind of interesting.
I was going to say, do you feel like you're doing a better job with more experience?
I feel like I should be more in tune with my body based on my experience.
Okay.
And sometimes I'm like, what's going on? You know? I forgot.
yeah, that's true. That's true. That can.
Yeah.
Or it's just like a reminder. Those old aches and pains come up and you're like, oh yeah, I had forgotten that this hurt at one point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 3 years ago that the behind the knee or whatever, you know, that'll creep up and yeah.
And so ultimately, if someone listening to this, their ears are perking up, like, wow, that's me right now. I'm training really hard for, say, Grandma's Marathon, and I'm feeling beat down. You mentioned taking time off. I mean, is that kind of the best thing to do, or what other steps or tactics can runners do at this time?
So probably taking time off, whether it's a day or two, and then test it. So that's kind of I call it the rest and test theory.
Okay.
Take a rest and then go out for a run the next day and see how it is. The only purpose of that run the next day then would be to see how it is. It's not like to get back onto the training plan because the plan says I have 8 miles to do this day.
Yeah.
No, it's just a test. It's just to see how it is. The other thing I would say that We've talked about this before, but with the three stressors of running, the frequency with which you run, the duration, how long you run, frequency being how many times a week, duration, how long do you run, and intensity, how fast do you run, or like, is it hilly, like a really hilly, slow run is still going to be intense. Mm-hmm. So in injury time, dial all three of them back, mm-hmm. you know, it taking a day off would be dialing back frequency, mm-hmm. shortening the run would be dialing back duration, or mm-hmm. slowing down would be dialing back intensity. And when you're injured, do all three.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't hurt to just run a little slower.
Yeah.
Like people probably don't do that enough and just go out for a little jog.
Yeah.
You know, at least you get some of all the great kind of mental and emotional benefits of running.
Right.
By just going out for a simple short jog.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be exactly what your training plan says. You know, yeah. your body doesn't know mileage. Your body doesn't know the numbers, like 6 miles, 8 miles, or anything like that. That's a brain thing.
Right.
And if it's your body that's injured,
yeah,
you need to respond to that. And so go ahead. If your plan says 8 miles, go run 4 or jog 4.
Yeah.
And your body will be absolutely fine. You just have to adapt the brain to think, to tell yourself that's okay. In fact, that's better than 8 would have been. Yeah.
You know what's worked for me almost every single time? Strength work.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a miracle cure for me.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, I was having some issues recently, a couple weeks ago, with like my hip iliac crest, mm-hmm. like this really like just tender, like sharp pain in one specific spot, right? You know, I can tell where like the tendons connect at the iliac crest side. And I did a little bit of research, just like what causes this. And the internet said, you know, with a grain of salt, take it, that it's my leg trying to move inwards, you know, towards the center of my body. It's my left leg trying to move towards the right.
Yeah.
And then so what I did was grab my bands and practice, you know, anchoring it to the left and to the trying outside. To pull it right and just do these like high rep, you know, kind of easy until it starts burning.
Yeah.
On both legs, and then more like in a runner stance, like with it, my leg behind me, like I'm actually like running, and just kind of did that. Like the first day I did it, it felt better.
Yeah.
And then I've just been like continuing to do it. And okay, it's not like it's fixed, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a lot more manageable, and I can continue to run at the same volume that I was like planning on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what's worked really well for me is, I mean, I think that's sometime you gotta just ease back, but before it gets like too bad, if I just like go for this like targeted strength work, it's done me really good in the past.
So then you were able to kind of maintain all your,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause what I want to avoid is to take the time off, right? Yeah. I want to stay strong to be able to continue to put on mileage and increase intensity, increase frequency, you know, all those types of things. So I feel like the strength has allowed me to do that where it's not like painful or it doesn't seem like it's getting worse. It seems like it's actually either maintaining or getting a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that would definitely work for sure. I really like those exercise bands as strength work. I think those are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even just body weight, you know, I'll go on my side and do like side leg lifts, I guess, and stuff like
side
that.
Side planks with the leg lift and all. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. I swear by the strength work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a big believer in the body weight stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly some free weights and kettlebells and things have their benefits too, but
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next thing we got is a couple of gear reviews. It sounds like we both bought shoes recently.
Yeah. Let's hear yours first.
All right. So I'm pretty embarrassed about this, being a former shoe salesperson.
Oh,
and
man.
I've tried to convince, you know, many, many people to size up their size. And I don't know if I have amnesia or something or what, but I forgot what size shoe I wear. And I went and I tried on one foot, like, yep, that's good. And then the first run, I was like, geez, these feel a little bit tight. And I looked at my two different pair of shoes. One was a 12 and a half. And then the shoe I bought, 11 and a half.
Oh, wow.
What am I doing? You know? Oh. And so there's a Brooks Ghost. I believe the model 14, they're like a past model pair, you know, kind of spring burner shoe. And that's what I treat them as, just like a spring burner. They're going to get nasty, muddy so fast.
Yeah.
I'm putting on a lot of miles, so I don't think I'll even have them for that long. So, but ultimately they're comfy. Like, honestly, I'd probably just go get a new pair when these ones are shot, or maybe even a little bit before, cause I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to write on my hand, like size 12.
Yeah. 12 and a half, you said.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And granted, those were some trail shoes.
A rare size.
Yeah. Yeah. when I started running, I used to run in 10 and a half.
Yeah. I remember that.
And so I don't know if it's the ultras flattening my feet or what, but I think it's honestly just a comfort thing. Like,
yeah.
I try the 11s. That feels better. Try the 11 and a half. That feels even better than that. Try the 12s. These are the best yet, you know?
From what I remember too, maybe you've changed, but I think you like your shoes a little on the loose side.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. I remember that too. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
not a lot of people do that. Usually people like them more snug. As a feel. So I always thought that was interesting about you.
Yeah.
That you,
I don't know. Yeah, try it all.
Kind of kick them off almost.
I've tried them tight.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Not so much.
Try them snug. Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So I got some shoes too. So I got some trail shoes. I went to Austin Jaro, I don't know, a handful of weeks ago. Well, a couple of weeks ago. Got some trail shoes, the Pegasus Trail.
Okay.
Nike Pegasus Trail.
Nice.
Really nice shoe. Like that a lot. I tried on a handful of different trail shoes up there. Tried on your Cascadias.
Mm.
Yeah. Mike's go-to trail shoe. That was a great shoe. All four that I tried on, I would have been perfectly happy with. But the Pegs, I just liked a little bit more on the
So new. What were you kind of looking for? Just a regular, just trail kind of?
Just kind of road to trail, nothing too aggressive. I wanted some cush. And of course, because the Pegasus Trail is based on the Pegasus, which is a road shoe, it just has more of a road shoe feel to it. That being said, the Cascadia kind of feels to me like a Ghost. You would know better than I would.
Yeah.
Because I've never had a Ghost, but the Cascadia feels like a road shoe too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just was kind of leaning towards the Peg Trail, and that's it was good. So it's been really good. It works perfect to run, get to Hartley, do a loop and come back, and it's a great shoe for that.
I'm just
aggressive enough for like the snow and stuff.
I'm a little out of the shoe styles, but they used to have the Nike Wild Horse, which I was a big fan of. Are they still running that, or is the Pegasus kind of?
They have more trail shoes now than they used to. For a while there, it was the Wild Horse and the Kyger.
Yeah.
Yep, and they still have both of those, and they have the Peg Trail, and then there's another one that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. And I think the Wild Horse made some changes. Hmm. There might even be two other ones new ones that I don't know about super well. I think the Wild Horse was definitely more Cascadia like. Back in like when we were selling shoes.
Yeah.
And more road trail, and the Kyger was a little bit lighter, more performancey.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's kind of the same case, but I think the Wild Horse I might be wrong about this, but it looked to me like it got to be a little bit of a, how do I want to describe it? Like a clunkier shoe. I think basically the Peg Trail came in and kind of took over that road to trail thing where the Wild Horse used to be.
So that's really that kind of the road to trail.
I think that niche. So. Yeah. Okay. And again, I'm out of the shoe game too.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know. I'm just kind of going on.
Yeah.
Trying to do some research on their websites and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be back with another shoe review probably within the month, because I really have a weak spot in my arsenal with a big road just plotter.
Yeah.
Like the big clunky, just can't get injured.
Yeah.
It's under a warranty.
Are you going to go Hoka?
I have not been a fan of Hoka.
Yeah.
The toe box and just the vibe, the feel, it has never really jived with me.
Too much.
Yeah, I've had good luck with like the Glycerin or like the big Mizuno, like the Mizuno Sky.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like a big heel drop, heel pad.
Yeah,
that's kind of my style.
And
but
honestly, from what I can tell, with not knowing a ton, it looks to me like all the brands now kind of have their Hoka shoe.
Yeah.
Hoka's not the only one that does this Max thing anymore.
Right, right.
The Nike Invincible, I think it's the Invincible Run.
Yeah.
I have a pair of those, and those are super plush and soft and bouncy and Hoka-like, but it's a Nike.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that shoe. It's a great, just, it's kind of what you described. I don't think it would fit your foot well because it's very narrow. And but it's exactly what you described. It's a just plotter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My beef with Hoka is that it feels too soft.
And, yeah.
From a, like a longevity standpoint, I like the foam that's a little bit more firm just because I feel like they last longer.
Yeah.
The one pair of Hokas I had that I was kind of like, eh, I'm not a big fan after this. They became like misshapen.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
Exactly.
Just because of how my foot strike was landing, and it's like so soft. I feel like it compressed faster.
Yeah, I agree.
Like a couple hundred miles, 150 miles. And they like,
yeah,
my foot was starting to hurt.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm going to keep an open mind. Maybe I'll try on some Hokas. Who knows? But I got to get a plotter.
And also too, with the Hokas, not all Hokas are huge cushion.
Yeah.
Some of them are just like a normal, any other shoe brand too.
Yeah.
So that could potentially be an option for you.
Yeah. I'm going to keep an open mind and try a bunch on.
But then there's the fit, like you say, the toe box.
Yeah. Thing. That's that big.
Tends to be somewhat universal with a brand at times.
Yeah.
So,
moving on, what have you been into lately, Tony?
So right now, our last episode, I had, talked about a book that I had read, and Lauren Fleshman's book, which was just outstanding. And now I have a new book that I'm reading, and it's awesome. Kara Goucher's book, The Longest Race. I'm pretty early into the book.
Yeah.
So far, I'm kind of where she's at in her story. She just joined like the Oregon Project, and still pretty early within the Oregon Project. But so it's really interesting. But it was really fun to just hear some conversation about, you know, the Duluth days and that kind of thing. It wasn't quite as much of that as I thought. I was kind of hoping for more because I wasn't here. I wasn't living in Duluth at those times.
Right.
So I don't know a lot of the stories. I've heard, you know, from a handful of people, and I've heard Kara talk about it a little bit. And of course, we had Kara on and we talked a lot more about it.
Right.
Then I was hoping to hear a bit more in the book. But so far, I'm really enjoying the book. Yeah.
So what's the book about?
Well, I think the main part and the subtitle is Inside the Secret World of Abuse, Doping, and Deception on Nike's Elite Running Team.
Sure.
So there you go. That's what the book's about. But it's really just her life in running at that point, or, you know, from up to this point, or where she is today, I guess.
So, yeah. I mean, I know Kara has lots of kind of media outlets. I know like her husband, Adam, has written books. So I wasn't sure if she had written kind of a autobiography type story before, but it sounds like this is kind of it, with the slant towards the Nike Project and what they're
issues. Biographical running book would be totally how you would describe it. She has a couple other books, Kara does, but they're more kind of like running advice kind of books. This one is more about her and her experiences as a runner.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to follow up once you get through it.
Yeah.
And see how it is.
But. And then there's another one coming out by Des Linden about her running, which comes out next month. So that'll be my next one.
Okay.
So, excited about that.
Have you heard anything regarding Nike with like this book? I mean, is this a major bombshell?
It's, you know, I think a lot of these stories they've been in the making now for quite some time.
Yeah.
And now Kara's put it out there for everybody. So I don't know. I haven't read all of it, so I'm not sure how much new information is out there. I haven't really seen a lot of Nike response, but I don't follow social media a whole lot. And I used to read like letsrun.com pretty religiously. I haven't been on that in a couple of years now. So that is a place to get a lot of running information. I just haven't done that because, well, that website's kind of toxic at times. It's, and my life is better without all that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if Nike has, what do they say, clapped back?
Yeah. Yeah. What they say? Well, you know, and the kind of the big revelations were years ago, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe this is just the book form of the kind of the news headlines that have already been out.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to find out. But
we'll have to follow up.
I am enjoying it.
Good.
It's cool to hear her talking about, you know, Hartley and her first race up in Hermantown with her grandpa and and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
The longest race, Kara Goucher.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, I've been into bikes lately. I won't say biking because this year I have 30 minutes in the saddle. Which was today.
Yeah.
So, but I spent the weekend tuning up my triathlon bike, which is now on the trainer, and then also my gravel bike. Uh-huh. And then I spent some time crying when I looked at the forecast.
Yeah.
Here I am. I've recovered. But I sewed up a bike bag, and I ordered a single speed kit. So I'm going back to the single speed. And
nice.
Really looking forward to spending some time biking.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. We'll have to get out and hit some gravel then this fall sometime.
Yeah, once the snow melts.
Kind of tentatively planning on doing some kind of, because I'll be running Pavo Nurmi in August, so I want to stay run focused. But then after that, I'm kind of itching to get on the gravel. So
Yeah. It's always fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, what else we got on this fourth anniversary episode?
I think that's it for the rundown section.
Cool.
But if you all want to stay tuned for kind of what we have next, we'll just kind of let it be a little bit of a surprise and we'll introduce it there in the next section.
Sounds good.
All right.